Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In headlines this Friday, June the 21st, Mexico's bishops announce a crucial third stage in their national peace dialogue. Over 1,000 Muslim Hajj pilgrims die amid soaring temperatures in Mecca. And the Vatican athletics team prepares to participate in the Championship of the Small States of Europe. In the Vatican, I'm Joseph Tolick. The Mexican Bishops' Conference has announced a third and vital stage of its national peace dialogue, aiming to address and overcome ongoing and chronic nationwide violence perpetrated by organised crime. James Blears has more.
This initiative is in remembrance of the June 20th, 2022 murders of Jesuit priests Javier Campos Morales, aged 79, and 80-year-old Joaquin Cesar Mora Salazar, when gunmen from a gang burst into a church located in the remote Tarahumara mountain range in western Mexico and gunned them down. Their murders deeply shocked a nation already grievously traumatized by killings, which often does not go uninvestigated and unpunished. The Bishops' Conference says, "The murders of Father Javier and Father Joaquin made us redefine the pain of the soul throughout many parts of Mexico and to build a movement with peace as its harmony, with the many victims of violence as its starting point. The nationwide violence has and continues to claim thousands of lives, and many more have vanished permanently. That unremitting violence continued in the run-up to the June 2nd presidential election and other simultaneous elections as more than 20 candidates were slain. The proposals involve starting local peace projects. The seven aims are reconstruction of social identity, security, justice, prisons, youth, governance and human rights. Also, impunity or getting away with murder and other crimes will be a top priority. The people of Mexico deserve nothing less." For Vatican Radio, James Blears reporting.
Over 1,000 Hajj pilgrims have died amid soaring temperatures in Mecca. Over half of the victims are reportedly unregistered worshippers who appear to have taken part in the pilgrimage without access to cooler spaces. Linda Bordoni reports.
Egypt has formed a crisis unit to investigate the deaths of its nationals taking part in the annual Muslim pilgrimage to Mecca during extreme heat. This comes after medical and security sources said at least 600 Egyptian pilgrims have died on the route to Mecca in Saudi Arabia. In recent days, hundreds of people from different countries have perished in punishing conditions in the Saudi Arabian city where temperatures have at times exceeded 51 degrees Celsius. The death tolls are expected to rise much further as Saudi Arabia and Egypt have yet to release official figures. Additionally, the governments are only aware of pilgrims who have registered and travelled to Mecca as part of their country's quota. More deaths are feared among unregistered pilgrims. Saudi Arabia authorities say they sent away unregistered worshippers who would not have been able to access tents. Egypt, meanwhile, is coordinating with Saudi counterparts to arrange for the transfer of bodies, pledged to investigate and penalize companies that had facilitated travel for unregistered pilgrims. Witnesses said that during the pilgrimage, thousands had laid on the streets exposed to the sun on the climb to Mount Arafat, one of the integral rituals of the journey. Their bodies were later covered with ihram cloth, a simple garment worn by pilgrims until medical vehicles arrived. The Hajj pilgrimage is the fifth pillar of Islam. It is mandatory once in a lifetime for every able-bodied Muslim who can afford it, and it is the most significant manifestation of Islamic faith and unity. This year's event, which began last Friday, is expected to draw nearly 2 million pilgrims. I'm Linda Bordoni.
And in more world news, 10 days before the first round of the legislative elections in France, the bishops are speaking out. In a statement released on Thursday, June the 20th, that's yesterday, the Permanent Council of the Conference of Bishops of France reflects on the issues relevant to this election in a particularly tense context and offers a prayer to all the faithful who wish to join in. They say, quote, "The dissolution of the National Assembly has placed our country in unexpected turmoil," referring there to President Emmanuel Macron's decision to call these early elections following the results of the European parliamentary elections. The French bishops point out that in the light of these results, society is, quote, "anxious, painful and divided." The bishops highlight the causes of what they call a deep social malaise, which they say goes beyond political decisions. It is due to, quote, the individualism and selfishness into which our societies have allowed themselves to be drawn for decades, the dissolution of social ties, the weakening of families, the pressure of consumption, the weakening of our sense of respect for human life, and the erasure of God from the common conscience. The bishops also note that parliamentarians and political leaders cannot do everything, but they can only act based on everyone's determination to work for the common good. Atletica Vaticana, the Vatican athletics team, is in Gibraltar preparing to participate in the upcoming championship of the small states of Europe. As Christopher Wells reports, they've brought with them a relay baton blessed and signed by Pope Francis himself.
On Saturday, the Vatican athletics team will compete in the championships of the small states of Europe. 18 other small countries will compete in the event, which is being held in Gibraltar. As a symbol of fraternity, Atletica Vaticana will bring a relay baton blessed and signed by Pope Francis himself. The Vatican's sporting presence in Gibraltar, located on the Mediterranean, is particularly significant. The Pope's team is there to promote the messages of fraternity, inclusion, and peace in an area which the Pope has often described as a cemetery due to the high numbers of migrants who die trying to reach Europe from Africa. Alongside the five Vatican athletes, sports people from Albania, Andorra, Armenia, Azerbaijan, Bosnia and Herzegovina, Cyprus, Georgia, Gibraltar, Iceland, Kosovo, Liechtenstein, Luxembourg, North Macedonia, Malta, Moldova, Monaco, Montenegro, and San Marino will compete. Among them are athletes who participate in Olympic and World Championship finals. This marks the third time Atletica Vaticana has participated in this European event, following editions in San Marino and more recently in Malta, where Sara Carnicelli achieved an historic third place in the 5,000 meters. Atletica Vaticana continues to promote its mission of fraternity on the international sports stage, alongside peoples who, both in and out of sports, do not often have significant exposure. Their goal is to tangibly demonstrate the culture of fraternity and the culture of encounter, building bridges of friendship and dialogue with all. In an international context of tension and war, sports can be an opportunity for mutual understanding, breaking down prejudices and hostilities through dialogue between different cultures and religions. In Gibraltar, following the example set by Pope Francis, the Vatican athletics team, which departed from Rome on Thursday morning, will engage with local social communities. Specifically, they will offer an Italian dinner to people with intellectual disabilities and their families, part of the Faith and Light Association. There will also be a moment of fellowship with the Christian community of Gibraltar, which will host the team. I'm Christopher Wells.
And as we reported in yesterday's broadcast, on Thursday morning, Pope Francis met with members of the Lutheran World Federation. In that broadcast yesterday, we brought you the first part of an interview with the Reverend Dr. Anne Burkhardt, the Lutheran World Federation's General Secretary, as well as a pastor in the Estonian Evangelical Lutheran Church. In this second section of the interview, she discusses that audience yesterday with the Pope.
Yes, it was a very nice audience we had just this morning, and the purpose was to introduce the new governance of the Lutheran World Federation, the new vice president and the new president who were elected last year in September at the assembly. And we were very glad to see that Pope was very engaged, and it was a good meeting we had.
And what are some of the priorities of the new leadership of the Lutheran Federation?
Well, actually, we just had a council meeting with the new leadership. So we actually came from Geneva directly from the council meeting to Rome. And one of the actions that the council took was to approve the new strategy. So we are going to focus on four main areas of work, which is responsible theology, then thriving churches, meaning that we want to support our member churches in being inclusive of youth and also of women and to help them in being accountable and transparent. Then we also have justice and peace as one of the priority areas, and particularly when it comes also to peace building and advocacy, the public voice of the church. And we also have a major humanitarian and development arm as Lutheran World Federation, which cooperates very closely with Caritas. It's called World Service, and it serves over 3 million refugees worldwide.
That was the Reverend Dr. Anne Burkhardt, the General Secretary of the Lutheran World Federation, speaking to me there yesterday. And now, finally, if you've tuned into Vatican Radio with any regularity at all over the past 2 years, you've probably heard us discussing the Synod on Synodality, this big council on how the entire people of God, both clerics and laity, can walk together But just in case you're not quite up to speed with the concept yet, we spoke to Archbishop Dapula Anthony Mopako, the Metropolitan Archbishop of the Diocese of Pretoria in South Africa. He participated in the first General Synodal Assembly in October of last year, and he spoke to Vatican Radio's Crystal Wells recently about that experience.
Indeed, as I have continued to engage with the synod and synodality process, reflecting on what really is at stake, it has become even clearer to me that indeed the synod is not just about, you know, solving this or that problem or introducing this or that method or this or that strategy, but about something that is more fundamental, you know, that involves us shifting to a new model of church, which is characterized by the spirit of synodality. And it sounds like it's the model of church that was put forward by Vatican II, churches, communion, the people of God. So it seems to me that's what we are being asked to do, and therefore to transform our local churches, our parishes, our dioceses, into churches that really are infused with the spirit of synodality. And that's what we are trying to do in the Archdiocese of Pretoria too. Make sure that all the structures and bodies that are in place in our local church begin to operate more consciously in a synodal way.
And Your Grace, you're going to be participating in the second session of the Synod in October. I know there's a lot of preparation between the previous session and the upcoming session. Is there anything else you'd like to add about what you're looking forward to or how you're preparing for the next session?
Well, first of all, we had to conduct, you know, consultations at the level of our Episcopal Conference, and we've sent our responses now to Rome. Hopefully they'll become part of the new Instrumentum Laboris that we are going to be using then. So in a way, I am equipped now by knowing more what the local church in our region, you know, is saying about how we can become a synodal church in mission. So I feel more prepared now that I'm not just going there to represent what I think, but I'll be caring, you know, what shall have transpired, you know, from the consultation of all the people of God around here. But otherwise, I'm looking forward to participating again in the Synodal Assembly, and hopefully this time is going to be more focused than the previous one was.
That was Archbishop Dapula Anthony Mopako, the Metropolitan Archbishop of the Diocese of Pretoria in South Africa, speaking there to Vatican Radio's Christopher Wells. And in a final bit of news from the Vatican, the 97th Plenary Assembly of the Meeting of Aid Agencies for the Eastern Churches will be held in Rome starting from next Monday, June the 24th. That's according to a statement released today by the Dicastery for the Eastern Churches. And the assembly will focus in particular on the Israel-Hamas war, which is currently rending the Holy Land. It will feature contributions from the Apostolic Delegate to Jerusalem, from the Kustos of the Holy Land, and from the Vice-Chancellor of Bethlehem University. And Archbishop Paul Richard Gallagher, the Vatican's Secretary for Relations with States and International Organizations, will present an overview of the Holy See's current diplomatic efforts, particularly regarding Ukraine, the Middle East, and Ethiopia. That just about brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, please do visit our website at www.vaticannews.va. And you can also catch the latest updates on our Facebook, X and Instagram pages. Just search Vatican News. Many thanks go to Daniele Giorgi in the studio in the Vatican. I'm Joseph Tullock. Goodbye.